Parshas Kisisa mentions right in the beginning of the parasha the Indian of counting Klal Yisrael. It says that when you take a census of Klal Yisrael, you should not count them by number. It could cause Ayin Hara. So you know from those who learn Navi, at the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perach Avdal is the whole story, with David HaMelech counting Klal Yisrael, and it says that there was a big plague, 70,000 people died in the plague, and that's because they counted Klal Yisrael straight. So the Pasuk in Parashas Kisisa says that when you count Klal Yisrael, you should not count them directly, that there shouldn't be a plague by counting Klal Yisrael. So what are you supposed to do? So it says that each year it gives a machzis hashekel, and with that we could do our math and count up Klal Yisrael. So the question is brought up by many Mefarshim, it's already in the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bechaya speaks out, why dafka did we choose a machzis hashekel, a half a shekel? It would be l'chaira much easier. Everybody could give a shekel. We would end up getting more of a donation of Klal Yisrael, and a shekel is not such a great mesiras nefesh. Just do a regular shekel, shalom, a whole shekel, and then we'd be able to count Klal Yisrael. Why do we have to do a half a shekel and then count how many shekelim we have and then figure out how much, double the amount of shekelim we have is the amount of Klal Yisrael. Why do we have to do it in such a funny way? So we find many suggestions in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, each one bringing out their own nusach, their own idea, exactly what we see from the concept of the machzis hashekel. There's one, for example, in the Noyam Elimelech, the Rebbe of Elimelech from Ozhensk, he has on Chumash and Parshas Kisisa, he says that the idea of the machzis hashekel is to remind us to act with anivus. That a person shouldn't think that he's a finished product, he's a whole shekel, he's a davar shalim on its own. A person has to remember that he's only half, he's not there yet. Of course, the person has to believe in himself and realize that he has potential and koiches. It's not a contradiction to that. He could get there, but a person shouldn't feel like he's there already. He doesn't have anything to grow. He is already an adam hashalim. A person should realize he's a chatzi, and therefore when he gives his donation to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Mishkan, he should realize that he's a chatzi. Here's a chatzi shekel to represent me. That's one idea that's mentioned in connection with the machzis hashekel. However, there's another idea that I wanted to speak about. That is the mahalach of the Alshach. The Alshach brings from a big makubal, Reb Shlomo Elkabetz. You think you might not have heard of him, but he is actually the one who is mechaber l'cha doidi. L'cha doidi is, the first letters of l'cha doidi is Shlomo Halevi. This was composed by Reb Shlomo Halevi Elkabetz, who was a big makubal in Tzfas. He was one of the rabbeim of the Beis Yosef in the 1500s. A big makubal. And the Alshach brings from Reb Shlomo Elkabetz that the message of the machzis hashekel, it's not a message in shiflus that a person should realize that he's half and not whole. What it's trying to be ma'ir in every yid is a feeling of achdus. A feeling that a person, bal yala alev ish, that a person should not think, shehu nifrad mechaveri, that he's a separate entity, a whole entity on his own, separate from his friend. Rather, a person should feel that he's a chatzi. A yid should feel that he's a half. In what way? That b'hischabrayim kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael, Nase shalim. How does a person become complete? Not that he himself is his own separate entity. I'm living in my world, you're living in your world. No, we're all a chelek of one unit. We're all components in one big unit called Klal Yisrael. And that's the message of the machzis hashekel. When we give a machzis, representing me is a machzis hashekel, representing you is a machzis hashekel. Why is that? To realize that we're all a machzis with the rest of Klal Yisrael. We're all a half, and the entire entity is only in its shleimus when we have all of Klal Yisrael together. Reb Shimon Shkop wrote his great work, the Shara Yosher, which we learn in yeshivas. In the introduction to Shara Yosher, he says an incredible yesod, a deep yesod, kedarkoi, everything he says is very profound and very deep. And his introduction, Reb Shimon Shkop says like this. He says, every person is really oyev es atzmai. Every person loves himself, every person likes to do things that are good for himself. The different madregas that we find in people all depends on what a person includes in himself. What a person includes in his ani, when he discusses ani. A person on the simplest level, when he talks about himself and thinks about himself, he means his guf. So he wants to do something that's good for himself. What's good for himself? Eating, sleeping, things that are good for his guf. Someone who's a little bit more mature, he realizes that himself doesn't only include his guf. Himself includes his neshama, his guf and his neshama. So when he wants to do things that are good for himself, he'll take it in consideration, not just things that are comfortable for his own body in a physical way, but also things that are productive and helpful for his neshama. When a person gets a little older and reaches a higher madriga, says Reb Shimon, he realizes that included in himself is his wife, his spouse, and b'nei mishpacha. What does that mean? A person realizes that he himself, he's not a unit in himself. It's only together with his spouse, together with his b'nei bayis, that's his family. That's himself. That's how a person looks at himself. This coming week, mitzvah Hashem, there's a very special occasion in Klal Yisrael, and that is the Siyum HaShas. It's going to take place, the 11th Siyum HaShas, to the people who learned Daf Yomi. And the Gedolim very much advise and tell people to take part in it. Whether you take part in Madison Square Garden, whether you take part in Waterbury, the person should take part in this Simcha of Klal Yisrael. And it's a big chiddush that the Gedolim tell people to go take part, specifically B'nai Yeshiva. There's aspects of Bittul Torah, there's a lot of hours are involved in this, to go hear people speak, to go take part in the Siyum. And if a person feels like he really wants to sit and learn and not take part of it, sure, we could find in the Heter. Some of there are people who say that you should sit and learn and maximize your time instead of going around to the Siyum HaShas. But the general consensus of most Gedolim is that a Yid should take part in some way in such an occasion. Now what's the pshat in this? Even at the cost of Bittul Torah possibly? The pshat is that a person has to realize the simcha of the Mesayimim, of the people who finish Shas, is mamish our simcha. It's a simcha that Klal Yisrael finished Shas now with the Daf Yomi. Even if it wasn't you yet, you haven't finished Shas, you haven't finished Shas with the Daf Yomi, you did it in your own time, whatever it is, a person has to feel a simcha that this, the simcha of the Mesayimim, the simcha of the people who are finishing Shas, is our simcha. We're proud of them, and it's something that we take part of. And when a person goes to such an occasion, and he's at such an event, so just being there is ma'ayr, that feeling, that you feel connected. You feel connected to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael made an accomplishment, and we're proud of them, we give them chizuk to go weiter. Many people are themselves inspired to start learning with hasmada, to start learning whether it's daf yomi or anything else, with a commitment, a daily commitment, because of such a thing. But be'ikr, that feeling of feeling connected, that we are them and they are us. It's not a question, you're going to watch someone else to see him. This is our simcha, it's a simcha for Klal Yisrael. Purim is around the corner, already in the second half of Adar Rishon. And the Sfasemis, when he talks about Purim, other Sfarim as well, the Shulah HaKadosh, the Sfasemis is ma'arich about it. He says that when Haman came to Achashverosh and said that there's a nation that's mefuzer u'mefoyer, in essence what Haman was doing was saying a terrible kitrug on Klal Yisrael. He was saying that Klal Yisrael is mefuzer u'mefoyer, they're divided among themselves, not just an isolated nation that doesn't listen to Achashverosh. Sfasemis says there was a real kitrug on Klal Yisrael, that they are mefuzer u'mefoyer, each one looked at himself not as a machtis, as each one looked at himself as a separate entity in and of its own, and not connected with the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the Sfasemis says that Haman was right, that if that was the situation, Klal Yisrael did not deserve to exist, and they wouldn't have made it through the Nes of Purim. The only way they were able to exist was when Mordechai said, Lech kenoises kol ha'yudim, bring the Yidin together, gather them in, to congregate together, to bring them in, to get rid of that problem of being mefuzer u'mefoyer. As much as a Yid is separate and his own entity, that, then he's not zoicha to all the brachas and all the schusim that Klal Yisrael has. But when a person is kenoises kol ha'yudim, gathering together, then they're able to have the hatzalah, and they're able to experience the nes of Purim. And this idea is so clearly expressed in the mitzvah hayayim that we have on Purim, mitzvah mishloach manos ish l'reyehu, to give presents to a friend, to feel that friendship, that achva and reyes, matanas l'avyoinim, you look to people who need it, who are avyoinim, who don't have the simcha on Purim on their own, and you give them a simcha, matanas l'avyoinim. Even the Suda's Purim is not a Suda for ourselves, it's a Suda we share with family and friends. It brings about, hopefully Talmidim, we bring about a great simcha and a great connection, each person to his friend. That's what comes out on Purim. Even the drinking on Purim. Chayav inish levesume on Purim, the most popular halacha. So the drinking itself, it brings a great friendship. I've never seen more hugging and dancing than at a Purim Suda. When people are so friendly and so happy with each other, that drinking lets a person loose and brings out that friendship. I remember one time in Eretz Yisrael, we had a Lebed like a Purim Suda. And I invited over a bacher, and he came in with this tall guy. The guy was wearing a very multicolored yarmulke perched on his head. It definitely looked like it didn't belong there. But I had no idea who this guy was. I wasn't going to kick him out of the Purim Suda, that's for sure. no cheshbon of seats of the Purim Suda anyway. So the guy brought in this guy, and all he knew is that he introduced himself as Charles, and everybody at the Suda started calling him Prince Charles, because he had a colored jacket, and he had this multicolored yarmulke that he must have gotten somewhere. But he is like a 6'3" Baal Tshuva looking person, and the truth is that we found it afterwards that he wasn't even a Baal Tshuva yet. He was in Basha Nafrum. He was in somewhere in the neighborhood in Sanhedrin or Chavit by visiting someone on Purim, someone, a Rebbe of a friend of his. And this Bachar who ate by me stopped to give that Rebbe Shalach Manas first and told him he's going to a Purim Suda, and he brought him over to my house, and he stayed at our house. And we were dancing with him and talking to him. And Prince Charles, he was mamish, the prince of the Purim Suda. Lamaisa, after Purim, I didn't see the guy. So maybe it was Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know. Just didn't see him. Many months later, close to a year later, sitting in the Mir Yeshiva, I look up, I see this guy walk in, recognize him at anywhere, Prince Charles. It's Prince Charles himself. I jumped up, and I said to him, "Are you Charles?" He said, "Yes." "Who are you?" Baruch Hashem, he didn't recognize me. I'm happy that I don't look the same all year like I looked at the Purim Suda. But I introduced myself, and I told him that the Purim Suda that he ate was by me. And he said that over the last few months, he became a Shomer Shabbos. He became a firm person, and he was on his way. He came to learn in the Mir Yeshiva. He said the reason that he was firm was because of this Bachar who came to the Purim, to my Purim Suda with this Bachar. He said the Bachar, he was talking to him and taking care of him, and after he left my house, I didn't even know that he left, but he left the house, he went to somewhere else, and the Bachar spent time with him. The Bachar was gone on the other side already from early in the day. And he was talking to him and machazik him and crying to him, and he said that friendship that he saw, that elokait that came out, when the person was mamish, not in his own, he said that mamish made him frum. He doesn't even know the guy's name. He knows the guy's name is Ayalei, but he doesn't know his last name, Bechlau. And it turns out that the Bachar had already gone back to America. And I called the Bachar and I told him that, you know, that Prince Charles is frum today because of you. He had no idea, how to get a hold of him. Anyway, the Bachar got married. He came back to Eretz Yisrael, and I hooked him up. And I told Charles to go to him for a Shabbos Suda. He went to him. They became good friends. Ad Hayom, now today, he doesn't learn in the Mir. I helped send him to a place that's a little more matim for him. The Mir Yeshiva was obviously not the place at that point in his life for him to go. But the friendship that came out from the Purim Suda, that's something that's the Ruach Hayom of Purim. The Mishloach Manos, the Matanis Navyoinim, the Suda's Purim. That's all something that brings out that friendship, because the kitrud was that we were mefuzer and mefayrit, separated on our own. And the tikkun was leich kenoises kol ayudim, to bring everybody together. That is the message of the Machs HaShekel as well. That a person, according to the Alshech B'Shem Reb Shlomo Elkavitz, that a person by Machs HaShekel is giving half. Why is he giving half? Because he realizes that he's not complete without the rest of Klal Yisrael. He is just one organ, one limb in that Guf HaUma Yisraelis, and that's where a person gets the Ishlemes, not on his own. A Yid has to remember that he's always connected. The connection that a person feels as being a part of this corporation, a part of Yiddishkeit, goes in both directions. There's one thing, very comforting and reassuring feeling, that a person knows that he's never alone. There are many special people in Klal Yisrael. There's Hatzolah in Klal Yisrael. There's Chaverim in Klal Yisrael. There's non-affiliated good people. The Chaver Toiv and the Shachin Toiv, people who are Bali Chesed, and help Klal Yisrael, this Torah tapes and art scroll and the rest, people who are giving us kol davar toiv, trying to help us in our ruchnias, to help us in our gashmias. Klal Yisrael is a great corporation. It's a privilege and a schus to be part of Klal Yisrael and to benefit from all the great people in Klal Yisrael. But it goes the other way as well. A person has to work on himself and think, how can I help Klal Yisrael? What can I do in my lifetime that can affect Klal Yisrael? President John F. Kennedy used to say, said once, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. This was John F. Kennedy, a little bit before your time. Probably think he was named after the airport. But that's what he said. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. If I could take the liberty to be Makadish this memra, I would say, ask not what Klal Yisrael can do for you, but what you can do for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, a person could benefit from Klal Yisrael. There's a lot there. Such special people and organizations and hotlines and everything that Klal Yisrael has to offer. A person should take advantage of it. Why not? But ask not what Klal Yisrael can do for you. Ask not only what Klal Yisrael can do for you, but what you can do for Klal Yisrael. A person has to look ahead in their life and say, what am I going to do in my lifetime that can affect Klal Yisrael in a good way? Klal Yisrael needs Talmid HaChamim. Klal Yisrael needs people who understand Torah, who know Halacha, to help teach and to guide the next generation of Klal Yisrael. This is something, the biggest service you could do for Klal Yisrael. If a person feels like he can't become the biggest Talmid Chacham, it doesn't mean that he can't be a Mashpia in Klal Yisrael. I have Chaverim who are not big Talmid HaChamim, and they are Mashpiyim in yeshivas where they don't crack a book most of the year. They come, they help them in yeshiva listen to people's problems, they help them break bad habits and bad relationships, and they work through. People could be mashpia and mamish, saving neshamas and Klal Yisrael without knowing Kol HaTorah Kulo. It can happen. A person can affect Klal Yisrael in a good way, not even in the miskeres of yeshiva. A person has to think, using their talents. Everyone was blessed with certain talents and unique talents that are himself. A person could start a gemach that helps Klal Yisrael. A person has to be creative, and it deserves time. One should think, how, and with my talents and my situation, can I be a functioning organ in the Guf HaUma Yisrael? Not just that I should gain from Klal Yisrael, but also that I should give to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael should hear from me and benefit from my talents that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave me. Rav Moshe Scherer, Zatzal, who was president of Agudas Yisrael of America for many years, used to tell over of a family that was in the times of the Depression in the late 1920s, man who had two sons, Yaakov and Binyamin, two young teenagers, and as was with many families, the Parnassah situation was getting very dachuk, and he was hardly able to support even his two kids. And he turned to his oldest son, Yaakov, and he said, "Listen, my dear son, you're already 14 years old. It's hard for me, as you know, to support your mother and you and your brother. Maybe it's time for you to go out, Tashka, and try to find the Parnassah. Try to support yourself, fend for yourself. Like this, you'll be able to take care of yourself and in a better way than I could take care of you. And like this, I'll only have to support your brother, not both of you." So he had no choice, and he said, fine. He looked around in his city. There wasn't that many opportunities for him, so he traveled to the neighboring city. He started out working for someone. He ended up building his way up, and communications was not in those days like it is in these days. His family didn't hear too much from him, but they heard from time to time, a telegram now and then, that he was doing well. He got promoted, and he was able to himself take part in starting a business. And they didn't know exactly where he was and what he did, but they knew that Baruch Hashem, he was doing well. After a few years, the father turned to Binyamin, the younger son, who himself was already turning about 14. And he said to Binyamin, "You know, the situation is getting even harder than it was, and even to support one child, it's getting very difficult. Maybe you could go attack in the footsteps of your brother and go try to find the Parnassah and see if you could fend for yourself and make a living. Like this, I won't have the burden of having to support my children." So he understood that less Breira, he has to go and try to make a Parnassah. So where was he going to go? Didn't know where to start to try to find a business, start a business. So he said, "You know what, I'm going to try to track down my brother Yaakov, and we'll see, maybe he needs a helper, maybe he needs someone to work for him. It's a good place to start. You start working under someone, I'm sure he'll take me in. And then I'll build my way up the same way." Supposedly he built his way up. And he went searching. He went to the neighboring town. He found out that since Yaakov had gone to a different town. And he went searching for him. Finally, with information, he found out exactly the whereabouts of his brother. He found out that his brother has his own office. He came into the office. There's a secretary in the office. He can't speak to Yaakov right away. Just have to speak to the secretary. And he told the secretary, "Tell Yaakov that his younger brother, Binyamin, is here to see him." So she went inside to the office. And she said, "Yaakov, your brother Binyamin is here to see you." So he sent out a message. He said, "Tell the man who's at the door that I have no brothers." So she came back and said, "Yaakov said he has no brothers. He must be in the wrong place." So he went behind the desk. He went into the office itself with Yaakov. He sees his brother Yaakov there. He says, "Yaakov, Shalom Aleichem, it's your brother Binyamin." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "Who am I? What do you mean? I'm your younger brother. You don't remember me?" He said, "I left my house at a very young age. I'm on my own in this world. I don't have a mishpacha. I don't have any brothers. I don't know who you are." She said, "What are you talking about, Yaakov? You don't remember me? We used to play together and do everything that brothers did together. We grew up in the same house till you were 14. Now you forgot everything?" And Yaakov said, "I'm sorry. I'm on my own in this world. I don't have any brothers. I don't know who you are. Please leave the office." Well, Binyamin, as you can imagine, was extremely disappointed. He was shocked. And most of all, he was stuck. He saw that he wasn't going to get help from his brother Yaakov, and he saw that he had to go elsewhere. He had to try to find the Parnassah on his own without the help of his brother. And he went to a neighboring city, and he opened up know, he started working for someone and slowly built his way up, kept in touch a little bit through telegrams with his family, but also not any major communications. A short while later, both Yaakov and Binyamin get telegrams in their respective cities from their father, that the father got very sick, and it's mamish deteriorating day by day, and the father's already on his bed, and he feels like this is the end is near. He sends a telegram to his two children that they should come back to see him. So Yaakov comes running, Binyamin comes running. They come there, they both are sitting by the bedside of their father, Yaakov on one side, Binyamin on the other side. And the father turns to Binyamin and he says, "My tired son, Binyamin, tell me, how's it going? How's the business going? How's the davening and learning? How are things? What do you do?" He told him what he does, and he says, "How does it work?" And he started talking to him, all arichas. And he's told him, you know, that he's sick, he feels the end is near, and there's certain things he wants him to take care of. And Yaakov is sitting on the other side of the bed, clearing his throat, like, "Abba, I came in also." So his father turns to him and says, "Who are you?" So he says, "Who am I? Ani bincha b'chayrecha. I'm your oldest son, Yaakov." He said, "Yaakov? I have a son, Yaakov?" So he said, "Yeah, what are you talking about? You don't remember? I grew up in this house until I was 14. We were so close together. You don't remember your oldest son, Yaakov?" His father put on a very serious face. And he said, "You see this boy, young man, sitting on the other side of my bed? This is Binyamin, my son. If you are not his brother, you cannot possibly be my son, because he is my son." And this was the message that he told Yaakov, the final message that he told his son Yaakov. We ask Hashem so often that Hashem should answer our tefillas, Kirachim of Albanim. We ask Hashem for mercy, he should have rachmanis on us, just like a father has rachmanis on his children. And Hashem says to us, "Are you talking my children? You know who are my children? That Russian immigrant who has a hard time getting acclimated to the country, to the community. He's my children. He's my child. That Ger or Baal Tshuva has a hard time becoming part of the Chevra. He's my child. The older single person who doesn't have that many friends and people to talk to. He's my child. Do you act to these people like your brother and your sister? If you are a brother and sister to these people, then you could consider yourself children of mine. But if you don't act to my children as a brother and sister, then you can't possibly be treated as my children, because these special people are my children." A Yid has to never forget that he's a chelik of Klal Yisrael. Any part of Klal Yisrael is the banim and banis of Hashem, and a person, in order to feel that he deserves the rights of a child and to ask Hashem to have rachmanas on him, like a father has rachmanas on children, a person has to look at all the other children of Hashem as their brothers and sisters. A Yid should always remember that he's never alone. The connection to Klal Yisrael, as we said, is twofold. A Yid is never alone. Baruch Hashem, there's money in Klal Yisrael, there's connections in Klal Yisrael, there's good Gemilas Chasadim in Klal Yisrael. There's a lot to benefit from Klal Yisrael. As we said, it's a special privilege and a schus to be part of the corporation of Klal Yisrael. But mitzad sheni, a person has to always remember the great responsibility that lies on every member of Klal Yisrael, that he should be a functioning organ in that guf of Umma Yisraelis, that he shouldn't just go by life taking advantage of this and that and never contributing constructively to Klal Yisrael. A person has to take the lesson of the Machzis HaShekel, the lesson of the Nes of Purim, and realize that he himself is a Chatzi, he himself is only a Chelik of Klal Yisrael, and a person should try to affect Klal Yisrael and to help the people who are really part of our Ani, they're really the extension of us. We should all be Zeicha to reach our great potential and to help Klal Yisrael to the best of our abilities.